I have,
Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. My name's...
Brian Benben.
Brian Benben. Oh, man. I think I should sit down and take FX1 and FX2, kind of, and do like a better remake version by using the good pieces of them. Essentially, make a new movie, but like heavily influenced. Like I'd give like this is for FX1 and 2 at the end, you know, of my masterpiece.
You could go back through. And every time one of us says Benben, you could edit in really chunk, like clunkily. Brown. Every time someone says Benben, Brown.
Brown.
And that's when Brown takes the gun and he turns to Dennehy, and Dennehy says, Brown, why don't you... Yeah.
No, that would be too much work. I have a little bit of life on an occasion.
Is that right?
But when I planned for it. It was freaky. So Saturday night, I'm sitting there, I'm chilling out, I'm watching cartoons... And the lights come on outside because there's this motion sensor. And I'm like, is it an animal? It's probably an animal. I'm no big deal. I'm sitting there by the window. And then this truck pulls up. And I'm like, oh, it's a truck pulling up here. Let's see, is it just somebody that turned the wrong way? Now they're going to turn around. And I'm kind of standing there. And I'm standing on my ground thinking, what's this truck going to do? Mm-hmm. Truck turns around and leaves. But the whole time I'm like, what's up with that?
You were standing on your ground like you were going to jump out the window. And you were going to reach.
No, just like I was like, is this somebody I know in an automobile I'm not familiar with? Coming by to say hi, unannounced.
You know what that sigh means?
What?
You're full.
No, I just did that on purpose because I'm really pleased that this whole sequence of events happened after.
About getting, fiasco. You got your food. Yeah. You're happy because you have your food. You're satiated.
And my bloodlust is sated.
I love mild sauce. Help, I can't tell where I am, and it's dark, and I can hear laughing.
Laughing?
Because everyone's so happy.
Mine says, at night, the sporks pick on me.
I like that one. I think it's funny. I want to admit it.
Have you read the Harlan Ellison short story, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream?
I sure have. No, I have no idea what that is.
You haven't? No. It's really good. You should read it. I think I might have a collection from a class I took years ago, a sci-fi short story collection. And I'll just let you borrow it, because it'll take you, like... If it took me 20 minutes to read it, it'll take you 2, because I'm a really slow, illiterate person.
How long is it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like 15 pages or something. It's really creepy.
I could read that in one bathroom seating.
I'm sure. I wouldn't have told you about it if I thought it was, like, a huge investment, because I know you don't have a
lot
of time.
I like huge investments. No, I like reading.
Well, it's no Leaves of Grass or anything, so it'll be something you can do quickly.
Last Harry Potter book was like 900 pages.
Wow. I just have trouble recommending things to people and then feeling like because you're saying, hey, I think this is worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like,
Well, you know, you owe me one because I told you The Wire was really good. I think what's funny is that I don't even watch The Wire. I just told you that it was great.
Yeah, but you'd watch a couple of
them. I've seen a handful of episodes.
You were probably just like believing the hype though, huh? When you were saying,
no, I really liked what I saw. It was great.
Well, see, I've loaned you a bunch of cartoons, but you've already seen those, so I didn't show you anything new. Well, Last Exile.
Last Exile.
You like that one.
I still haven't seen Samurai Jack.
Since the last time you mentioned it, like half an hour ago?
I haven't seen it.
I'll loan you the first season, 13 episodes. I could even try to, like, write down which ones are the better ones,
because
in my opinion.
That'll matter.
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it anytime soon since I just finished watching it. It sits in a box. I take all my DVDs that I've watched and stick them in a box. And then take them out later. Like, I took Last Exile out recently. I'm going to start rewatching that. I watched the first two. Every time. Yeah, you just get new little things in there. I just really love steampunk. I mean, come on. There's airships. There's... The end of that fourth episode is just so good. It's just
green olives?
Awesome.
Do we have...
We
do.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what the Riddle of Steel is?
Yes, I know what the Riddle
of Steel is. You actually know it, though.
Tony's vermouth, like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, because you watched Conan. Because you know James Earl Jones, like... Tests him on the Riddle of Steel.
James Earl Jones tells him what the Riddle of Steel is. At no other point in the movie is it called the Riddle of Steel.
Of course, yeah.
His father calls it the Mystery of Steel and something else at the same time. And then he tells it to someone else as though... he explains it to the thief guy, and he says it in a certain way that's not... Oh, gosh, what is it? But the point is, like, What's interesting is there's writing about this on the internet that the steel aspect is something that he figures out on his own, that the mind is more powerful than flesh or steel.
But it's the will.
They talk about
the one wielding the steel.
They talk about that like that's something that he discovers, but they never show that in the film that he actually discovers that. So that might be just some.
It's part of the process of the arc, I think, maybe.
Yeah, but it's never shown or told about. That's so true. So if it is part of the arc, you know, it's not easily apparent.
That's true.
We wouldn't have read that. But yeah, James Earl Jones does the thing where he says that flesh is more powerful, and this is why. And then he's like.
He does magic and weird stuff.
No,
right?
But he turns the girl standing up on the cliff. There's all this other. He said, "You see that girl?" And he goes like this, and she jumps off a cliff and kills
that's
herself.
That's right. For
and
him. He said,
and he says,
he's like he's the cult leader. Like, that's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Conan, you left. Yeah, whatever. Some of their music is so great in that show. Like the.
What's because Trey Parker
getting
was a music
gay
guy.
For kids is here. The one where.
The chef always sings good songs, too.
Yeah, chef songs are pretty good.
The
songs
the montage
have,
one is good.
Yeah, the montage is great.
I like the one from the World of Warcraft episode, the Live to Win one,
yeah.
Where they're just killing all the boars.
If we just kill enough boars, live to win.
I walked across the quad at HSU one day, and there was a band out there just playing Trey Parker songs. And as I walked past, they were just singing More Than a Man.
More than a man. More than a man.
Isn't it also like
man,
now? Then doesn't
yeah, it goes to now you're a man.
Now you're a man.
Yeah.
Now you're a man.
Man. Yeah, they just play like. Dun, 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 yeah.
Gosh, that stuff's
it's great
so funny.
Stuff, yeah.
What? Sorry. We're
and the name of that, and the name of his band is. It's DVDA,
mm-hmm. Which they described as they just no because what they've described it is that what that really means like hey let's just get together let's just all have a good time
right, but it's from Orgasmo, yeah. Which is double vaginal double anal. Yeah.
Those guys
yeah, got it. What?
What happened to your olive scheme?
There was no vermouth and it was the worst decision of my life.
I was wondering what you were doing. A non-vermouth vodka martini. I'd like a martini, please. Just vodka?
I've done that before.
Really?
I don't mess around.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Had some olives in there. Just
you know what's really good?
Dry vodka martini, shaken
all stuff. Get a good gin martini.
Gin martinis, I love.
A good
gin.
If you like gin.
You know how to make a Vesper?
No.
So.
My dad told me I should be a bartender one time. Because I could just talk to him about anybody.
I've got books there.
Yeah.
Lots of books. The Vesper was just invented by...
it's very cool.
You know, the James
about
Bond
that
guy.
On the last podcast. Yeah,
what's the James Bond guy?
Q?
The guy who made James Bond. Made him up.
Ian Fleming.
Ian. Ian Fleming. Ian Fleming decides to invent this drink while James Bond explains it in Casino Royale in the
mm-hmm.
book. And he says, tells the bartender, I want a Vesper. He says, what's that?
Oh, I remember from
and
Casino Royale. It's a way to, like, trick, like, have almost no alcohol in
yeah.
it. So
well, no.
Still...
There's a lot of alcohol in it. There's a lot of alcohol in a Vesper. And in the book, he explains, he goes, what is that? He goes, I just made it up. And what it is it's like, it's two part Gordon's gin, it's one part Stoli vodka,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like a certain type of vermouth and like a whole bunch of other alcohols like piled on top of each other.
Isn't that
just
like a Long
color.
Island iced tea?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
But he's like, delicious. But that wouldn't be delicious. It would just taste like alcohol.
Actually, sometimes when you mix them, it kind of has a weird effect. Like, it does
no,
just taste
yeah, we
good.
Actually normally, well, with this stuff, we'll put vodka, rum, and whiskey. I think.
So whoa,
not whiskey. I think gin.
Mix dark and light.
Yeah.
So there's three different. We do vodka, gin, and.
Vodka's okay with gin.
Rum.
It's fine with gin, but you don't want to mix that with dark stuff.
Yeah, I said
and you really
whiskey
don't
on accident. Okay, and I meant rum.
You don't want to mix whiskey with a lot of.
You don't mix whiskey
other,
with much
with
of anything.
Anything really. People who drink whiskey with like. I don't like people who drink whiskey with Coke and stuff. That's just
I do sometimes, most of the time.
Every once in a while, I'll mix my Jameson with Coke, but normally I just drink it. It's so good.
It's good Irish whiskey. That's what Jimmy McNulty drinks on The Wire.
I called him Ian at a poker game, and his brother said, you know what really bothers him is to call him Ian. And I said, what? And he came back in, and somebody said Ian, and then Ian was like, looking around, and he said,
"That's the extent of how bothered I was." By
his dad,
him.
Yeah, that's really bothered for Ian. His dad used, when he was mad at him, would yell out his name and would come out like he and.
According to Seth, yeah, that's how he thought it was.
Oh, according to Seth, so this isn't even from you. So why does it bother you so much? Because Seth takes such glee in it?
Because, I don't know. Some people can just get to me really well, like my brother.
He gets under your skin.
A little bit, but at the same time, it doesn't really bother me that much. Lately he's been going off on how he thinks I'm addicted to Rageahol. So he TiVo'd the episode of True Life with the guy from Brooklyn.
Okay.
And the best part about it is that they've got a little audio clip whenever they come back from a commercial, and it's just the guy going, "Damn it!" He's like, "This guy's totally like you," and I'm like, "No, he's not."
Just because they have a clip of him going, "Damn it!"
No, it's just because he's like, "Oh, I like being angry. I'm like, "No, I don't. Yes. I just get mad when I have trouble with a computer every now and again. It's not that big a deal." Rage. Pretty nice guy most of the time.
You're addicted to rage.
For the Simpsons.
I'm like an alcoholic, but for rage.
Mm-hmm. That was what Homer said in that episode of Simpsons. That's why he says it, I think. He says, I'm a rageaholic. I'm addicted to rageahol. Like, what is rageahol?
There's an Onion t-shirt that says, I'm a chocoholic, except for it's booze.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It said, I'm like a chocoholic, but for booze. That's what it said.
And booze-aholic.
Yeah. We never even celebrated that you graduated from college. What's up with that?
We will once the diploma actually comes. Trust me. Everyone's getting laid.
We're going to get rip-roaring
drunk. Is that what celebrating means?
Hey, everybody, let's get laid. You have to do every party like Rodney Dangerfield is there. Or like your Rodney Dangerfield himself.
Can I send out invitations that say that?
Rodney Dangerfield.
Everybody, let's get laid. Send them to your parents and mine. Uh-huh. They'll send back an RSVP saying we respectfully decline to come to your party.
And then they'll send us a box full of condoms.
Yeah.
A gross.
That would
My parents
happen.
Would send me a box full of abstinence books, I think.
And the Bible.
Yeah.
Just to even it out.
There was this one time when Rachel mentioned years ago. Rachel mentioned how bad she looked one day, and so I thought that was funny. And I was like, Rachel, you look terrible. And she was like, oh, that's funny. And then I kept doing that
you
for
kept
a while.
Doing it.
And after a while, I got really old. I kept saying every time I saw her, I was like, you look awful. And then she was like, that's really starting to annoy me. And so then I was like, after that, I was like, Rachel, you look so good.
Oh boy.
And so I started doing that, and after a while, she's like, that doesn't work either. That's kind of just as bad or worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Max.
I could have used that low voice.
Well,
Rachel
was.
So
good. Oh, stop it. Like, we were playing sequence and you go, ooh.
We get a certain card and like,
ooh.
Mm. You have to do the thing from the Eminem album. You ever heard that?
Might have. I don't know.
Ken Kanish from Connecticut.
I really don't care about it.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy's voice.
Yeah. No, anyway. Want to talk about Max again?
Yeah, let's talk about Max. I have a really funny story.
Do we have a theme we can try to follow with?
Let's hear your...
Rachel.
Okay, let's just do it.
Yeah, that could be like a whole 5 hour.
You tell the story
can't
about
do
Max.
That on the audio.
I'll tell the funny story after Max.
I think I did it a whole bunch on the last one.
No, say what you wanted to say about Maxwell.
I'm going
to
tell the funny story after you tell your whole little apologetic thing about Max.
But he was not completely terrible, but I think I was just being...
You should be
being
pity to him or something like that.
And he was, you know, Mr.
Mr. Basketball.
Mr.
Horse Teeth.
All County soccer player.
Soccer, yeah.
MVP, you know, of both basketball and soccer team, and you know.
And everybody hated him.
That's
everybody.
Right.
My family hates
everybody
it.
We know.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true.
Actually, a lot of people in high school hated him.
Because Luke told me, I mean, Luke went to school with him, and he said everyone from that class hated him, and Sean hated him, and everyone hated him. He said almost no one liked him except for his very close friends. He said, like, he was like, everyone just abhorred the guy.
Yeah, he was kind of a jerk.
I bet everyone hated me in high school, too, except for, my five friends. But that's fine.
No one ever mentioned your name with hate. They just mentioned it with curiosity.
I was mysterious in high school, huh?
Anyway.
Should have parlayed that in there.
What's
something.
Ian like? Ian's a different.
It's not important. It's not important. You know that color between purple and blue? If people were colors...
Ian wouldn't be that color.
Yeah.
He'd be something else that you don't know.
He'd be off the Balmer series.
So here's the funny story.
Okay.
My dear friend Luke Heine.
Yes.
Luke Hine. He has
yes,
to call himself.
Of course. Oh, this is...
So,
he Hi, decided... Luke, if you listen...
He doesn't. He decided to take...
You should listen.
Yes, he's listened a couple times.
I know.
He decided to take it upon himself to become a prankster at some point in his high school career.
Luke did?
Luke did.
Really?
And Gus Pearson. That. And his good friend, Gus Pearson.
I don't remember Gus. Well, oh, I remember Gus. I remember Gus. Gus was great. I remember because...
I enjoyed Gus's company.
Because he was not 80 years old and he was named Gus.
Yeah.
And that's just great.
Go for it. So...
She just goes for it.
Okay, so... But before this, I'll explain some more tricks. So... one of the tricks was... And I don't remember the original prank. There were a few originals, but there was one time... We were all driving back from a movie in Eureka.
What'd you go see?
Oh, I don't know. Let's say... We saw...
Joe's Apartment.
No, let's say we saw 7 Years in Tibet. So we're coming back, and... There's a truck. We're in my parents' van. I'm driving it. There's like eight of us in the car. It's gonna top over. Would you shut up and listen to my
I'm
story?
I'm listening to eight of you in the car driving back from 7 years in Tibet.
And this truck pulls up alongside. It's a long cutting service, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a phone number on their side of their car, right? A home phone number. And these guys they look at the girls in the car, which is Kristen and a couple other girls, friends of mine. And they start making lewd...
Wait, Luke isn't with them?
No, Luke's with us.
Okay.
And these guys in his truck alongside start making lewd things, like doing the blowjob gesture.
Are you kidding
and,
like, me?
One of them moons us or something like that. Wow, and we ridiculous. All think it's funny. We all think it's funny and it's stupid at the same time. And I said, Luke, do you realize that these jackasses have their phone number on the truck? And so he immediately gets out his phone and he calls the phone number.
He gets it out Luke woman, style, right? Does he say something like, I'll take care of this?
A woman answers. And then completely straight-faced off the top of his head, he goes... Listen, I'm a well-bred Mormon man. I'm driving along the highway with my wife, who's also Mormon. Driving along, and some people come alongside us. It's this truck. It's got this phone number on it. And he describes the guys inside the truck. And he goes, they're making lewd gestures to my wife. And she's very upset.
Like
she's crying. She's very upset at this time, and I want to know what you're going to do about it. And the lady flips out. She's so angry. She's like, I'm pregnant at home, and I didn't know. He said he was going out with his friend, and I'm so sorry. And she freaks out. The next day, the guy calls his phone. He's like, listen, dude, I'm so sorry. He gives it like a long apology. Mm-hmm. So like basically, Luke decides this should be a career of his. So he decides to do this constantly.
How many cars have got phone numbers written on them? I mean, like a handful. And how often
are
you really how often
are
you justified in doing
it? It's not the car thing. There's no justification for this.
There was the first one though.
No, he just thought it was funny.
No, it was funny, but there was justification because those guys were being jerks.
One time, a person calls Kristen. Kristen is doing Mary Kay. She's doing Mary Kay. She's selling Mary Kay on the side, whatever the job she's doing.
Not the pies. That's Marie Callender's.
No, Mary Kay, the makeup. And this guy calls and goes, he says, my wife sells Avon, and you are stealing her customers. And she says, well, I don't understand. I've never sold anyone's customers. And she's like 17, 18, something like that, 19. And he's like, and this guy starts getting more and more angry. She doesn't recognize the voice. It's Gus Pearson. Because Luke tapped Gus to do a lot of the voices to people that already knew what Gus and Luke sounded like. Gus eventually got up to like screaming, like crescendoed to screaming at Kristen about his wife losing her job and their livelihood because he doesn't work. All this stuff.
I'm sure she needed that too.
And she was crying. She was absolutely,
Kristen, so she
was absolutely upset.
By,
I'm so sorry. I didn't know. And then, like, they call back a few minutes later, and he's like, hey, I was just kidding, I'm sorry, you know. Like, they normally don't say I'm kidding afterwards.
Yeah, but...
They tried to get me, this is a good one, they couldn't do
okay.
it.
Okay, this is what it's all about,
it's gonna get the good stuff, but they
tried
to get me.
No, this is the good one, I think.
So, I'm at work at Kmart. I'm at work at Kmart, and there's a phone call from me.
Set the stage, what time?
Midday.
Okay.
Midday. This guy calls, and he says, hello, is this Zach? And I say, yeah, and he says... Listen, I went through your line earlier, and you were very rude to me, and I didn't get all my merchandise, and I think you didn't give me enough change back, and you were very rude.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that probably wasn't me. I haven't checked anyone out today. So I basically like called their bluff at every single angle. It was Gus again. Like I was friends with Gus, but I didn't
know. Did you know yet that this was a joke?
I didn't know at this point, but I knew something was
up.
So
you're just doing standard operating
procedure.
I knew
something was up.
Yeah.
And so I said...
something shifty.
I don't think that was me. At first, I thought this was a real thing. I said, I don't think that was me because I wasn't checking one out early. He says, listen, I know the name of the store manager, the person who runs the entire store, has for like 15 years. And And I said, okay. And he said, I'm Shelly's next-door neighbor. And I said, okay. And he goes, I'm going to talk to Shelly about this. And I said, well, I'm very sorry. I don't remember being rude to anyone in a very long time. And he said, and he's getting angrier and angrier. And he goes, he's like, he was saying, like, I'm going to get you fired. Don't you understand? You need to admit that you were rude to me, like, and kept going. And at that point, he was like, hey, man, no, this is Gus. Hey, what's going on? Like, he was like, you didn't buy that. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I said, because I'm never rude to anyone. So I think you kind of, Luke missed something there. Like, Luke's going to set him up to this thing. So I got that one. They did this to a bunch of people. Anyway, so one day, here's the Max thing. Max 18, something like that. Around there. And he was going out with a...
Freshman.
Underage, right? Sexual intercourse was happening. I should probably change this to this. And
you were privy to the knowledge of the intimate circumstances under which circumstances were.
He was banging this girl, and they were keeping it a secret from the girl's parents because it's called statutory rape in the state of California. So he calls Max and he says that he works in the sheriff's department. They have information that he has committed statutory rape with this girl, and his father has called them to say that he is pressing charges, and that Max needs to be at the Humboldt County Courthouse at 6 in the morning the next day. And Max begins crying on the phone. He's upset to the point of crying. And he's like, I'm so sorry, what can I do? I don't know, I just don't want this to get out, I want my parents to know, and stuff like that. And he's like, it's too late, this is going to happen. If you come to the courthouse at 6 in the morning, though, you can throw yourself at the mercy of the judge and gets him absolutely going, completely. And he just kept dragging on, and he like called him back again later, like to kind of exacerbate it and just make it worse, I think. And eventually, somehow, Max's like best friend had actually put Luke up to it because he was like, you know who needs to get this? Max, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Luke had done it, and then because
even though everyone was their best friends forever, they all hated him.
And so, this guy felt bad though when he saw Max crying. And so
he called, because everyone's a jerk to him, he has no choice.
So he told Max, listen,
into a corner. That
this was
fight.
All a big prank. And so Max goes, I'm gonna kick Luke's ass. And then he went to Murphy's Market where Luke was working. And
the one in Trinidad, right?
Yes, and Gus was up there and Sean was up there, and he walked in and his eyes were bulging from his head, and he glared right at Luke and like he was gonna do something to him. Luke was like, hey man, what's up? And I guess like Sean and a couple of other guys like stepped in front of them, like if he was gonna try to attack Luke, mm-hmm. they were gonna beat him up or something like that, and he ended up leaving. But like he never talked to Luke again. Like, they'd been friends. Like, they'd played soccer together and stuff. And
they worked together,
yeah,
too, I think.
Yeah, and after that, I guess Max was... But I thought that was fantastic. They did some more later on in Luke's life. Gus wasn't involved because Luke had moved at this point to L.A. But they called a guy...
This is in L.A. now?
Yeah, they called one of his roommates.
He does it in L.A. still?
Yeah. He called one of his roommates and said that an ex-girlfriend, they knew her name, had recommended him for this dick extension product. And the guy was, like, furious. The guy called her and, like, cussed her out and, like, she had no idea this was going on. He was like, you fucking bitch. Like, he went nuts on this girl. Yeah, like, yeah, it was great. Luke said they didn't like the girl either, so it worked out for them. Like, they were able to prank two people at once. But Luke's made a whole life out of this. In fact, he came up with a TV show idea when we were, like, 15 called Scheme Team, which would involve... Us, it's
schemes
a
are awesome.
It's
see,
a reality
schemes are
show.
Better than pranks because schemes.
It's
are more
a reality show where you prank people and terrible pranks. What you do is the best one that Luke came up with was you go to a hospital and you find out who has AIDS and who doesn't know it yet, right? And then you go in. This was terrible. He said you go into the guy and you go, listen, you pretend like you're the doctor and you say you got a video camera crew with you and stuff and listen, I have terrible news. You have AIDS. And the guy freaks out, and his family cries and stuff. And then you go, we're just kidding. And then you wait for a long time, then you're like, but you actually do have AIDS. And then see if he actually believes it this time. It's terrible. It's not even funny, but no. Luke thought that was great.
It's a terrible idea.
Oh, Luke. Luke.
Pranks are fun.
Pranks can be fun. They can also be very
They can
mean.
Also, yeah, piss people off.
They can
off.
Ruin people's lives.